You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those you want to keep. Today is Tuesday. The Timberwolves don't play again until Wednesday night. So kind of a weird two off days in the middle of the week here for the Wolves, or I should say the beginning of the week. So that means today we've got a couple of non-game related topics to talk about. We're going to get into that in just a second. First of all, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Remember, Locked On Wolves is free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube now, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, any audio platform that you like to listen to. We're there. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so today on the show, we'll close the show by talking about Jared Vanderbilt and an interesting Hall of Fame comp that I mentioned before on the show, but I want to play it out just a little bit further. And I realize how ridiculous this is going to sound when I say it on some level, but I think it's worth kind of hashing out a little bit further. The first couple segments of the show today, though, I want to start looking at the trade market. And I've done a couple shows over the past few weeks, talked a little bit about Miles Turner, spent a little more time on Damian Lillard a little over a week ago, or I guess that would have been the end of last week. So prior to the Wolves playing Portland. And then certainly, you know, going back several weeks now, Ben Simmons. I want to just kind of hit all these really quickly. Because we're what? This is December 14th. The 15th is when many of the offseason contracts become tradable. And we're now kind of unofficially into trade season. We're about to be a third of the way. Some of the teams are a third of the way through their schedules. So front offices are starting to believe that they know what they have. The landscape of the league is a little bit more clear. Now, traditionally, of course, most deals happen right before the deadline for obvious reasons. Deadlines make deals come together. We all know that. But the wrinkle here is that this is now year two of the play-in system, which means that there are 20 teams out of 30 teams that actually make the quote-unquote playoffs, if we're including the play-in tournament as part of the playoffs. And that means that there's 20 that make it, which means there's probably another 4 to 6 that think they have a shot. So looking at it right now, there's probably only 4 or 5 teams that would say, yeah, we're out of it. So are there teams that are willing to shake things up? I mean, there's certainly teams that have disappointed and that could maybe make the case for like, hey, let's make a significant move to kind of rattle the cages of our team and you know, maybe motivate our superstars more, whatever, you know, the Atlantas, the Indianas. I mean, Indiana at this point could probably, the rumors are that they're ready to blow it up, right? So that's the question. Obviously, Atlanta's not blowing it up, but Atlanta, Indiana, the Lakers have been disappointing. You know, go on down the list. There's plenty of teams that have certainly under, I mean, Portland's a good example. Depending on how your perspective, you could feel the same way about Minnesota. Dallas is obviously still good, but they were supposed to be much better. There's all these teams kind of in the middle that my guess is that they don't want to do anything yet because they don't want to admit that like, hey, our roster isn't what we thought it, you know, if you're a Timberwolves fan, you're probably thinking, hey, I thought this Wolves team would be a little better. I certainly thought so. But, you know, there's plenty of buts there, right? There's plenty of reasons why it hasn't been so far. And it's easy to talk yourself into, well, hey, let's give it some more time. So I'm not by any means suggesting that trades are about to go down on December 15th or, you know, whatever between now and the deadline. I'm just saying that now we're entering unofficially what's considered trade season, or what's unofficially considered trade season, I should say. It's more likely that deals are going to happen. And we're starting to see and hear more about some of these rumors. So just quickly going through some of the trade options we've seen the Timberwolves or trade targets the Timberwolves have been connected to in some way, shape, or form. Let's start with the crazy, because I think we can go through these pretty quickly. And by crazy, I mean unlikely and superstar level. You know, we're talking top 10, top 20 players. Ben Simmons is the obvious one. He, of course, hasn't played this year. He's still very much on the trade block when it comes to the Philadelphia 76ers. Timberwolves have been rumored to be interested in him for a very long time, and it seemed like things were progressing maybe in that direction in August, September, when things were really ugly. And we haven't heard much about the Wolves being connected to Simmons. There were some rumors that came out over the weekend, early this week already, Monday maybe, related to the Knicks and one other team now being interested. And this was Shams Charania of The Athletic, and then his reiterating interest of some of the other teams, including Minnesota. the only thing we've heard since Sachin Gupta took over the front office from Gerson Rosas in September is that he had made contact. He was interested. He expressed interest to Philly, but that there hadn't been anything other than initial overtures made beyond whatever Rosas had been up to over the summer related to the possibility of trading for Ben Simmons. So we don't really know where things stand. The Wolves obviously got off to a decent start. Then they had the big 7 out of 8 wins and they were a couple games above 500, or I guess just one game over 500, but it felt like things were all coming together. Now they sit here 12-15, and are the Timberwolves really willing to fork over whatever it would take to get Ben Simmons? It's pretty unlikely at this point, and especially given what we think we know now about how important D'Angelo Russell is to this team with the way the roster has been constructed. Are they about to trade D'Lo? I don't know that they ever were too enthused about it. I also don't think Philadelphia really wants D'Lo. So I've said this all along, unless there's a third team involved that is somehow motivated to get involved, obviously, I don't think the Wolves get Ben Simmons. That would obviously be the big move. The biggest, even crazier move, I talked about at the end of last week, which is Damian Lillard. There's no sourced reporting that suggests the Wolves have inquired about Lillard, although I'm sure they made a phone call. I talked through, I think this was Friday's show last week, all the reasons why this would be really, really difficult to pull off. Not, you know, Portland would have to be like, okay, we are rebooting this thing. They have to be willing to trade him to not only a Western Conference rival, but a divisional rival. They'd have to be willing to take back a ton of picks. And really, it would just be like D'Angelo Russell and maybe one other guy. You know, and the ESPN fake trade from last Friday had Torian Prince to match the salaries, but maybe they want a Malik Beasley. Maybe they want, you know, Jaden McDaniels plus something else. But it's going to be a pick-heavy deal to get Damian Lillard. It's almost certainly not happening, right? A Simmons trade is probably, and I'm throwing a number out there, but it's probably a 10 to 15% possibility for Minnesota at this point. Lillard is less than 5%. These trades aren't happening, but they would obviously be huge upgrades. They would immediately become, each of them would be the best player. Well, certainly Lillard would be the best player in the Wolves. You could argue about Simmons, Towns. You know, I think given the Simmons that we saw last year, it's probably safer to say Towns would remain the Timberwolves' best player if they acquired Simmons, but both of them would be, they're both top 20, top 25 players at worst, and would immediately make the Timberwolves a top 4 team in the Western Conference, in my opinion, if the Wolves acquired either one of those players. So I think that belongs in its own tier, its own category. There's three other categories I want to look at, and they're all players. Actually, I should take that back. Two of the three are players I've talked about on the show before. A massive upgrade, you know, starting caliber, borderline, almost an all-star type player, and then a solid rotational upgrade, and then a player who some might think would be a rotational upgrade that I want the Timberwolves to not have anything to do with on the trade market here as we enter trade season. So I want to touch on all those here next before we get to my Jared Vanderbilt Hall of Fame comparison at the end of the show. First, though, let's talk about our title sponsors of today's program, and that, of course, is Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or maybe simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 per year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts, and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so that you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and has helped them save over, get this, $100 million. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you up to thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Let's also talk about our friends over at Stance. So you've probably heard a lot about Stance lately, Stance Apparel, I should say, especially because they've launched a new line of active apparel. It's also holiday gifting time. Stance is the coolest gift you can give. Their socks, shirts, joggers, hoodies are all extremely comfortable and well-made. It's so much better than boring old socks, underwear, apparel that you've always probably settled for in the past. Founded in 2009, Stance Apparel represents a radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel with a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity. Stance brings an atypical aesthetic alongside some of pop culture's hottest collaborators for the ultimate in style and self-expression, because everything you wear should be a direct extension of who you are and how you feel. There's some fantastic collaborations going on with Stance. That includes some of my favorite entertainment, like The Office, Disney, Marvel, obviously the NBA, Major League Baseball. My kids love Pixar. Those are all some, not all the collaborations that Stance has going on right now. It's unbelievable. It's fantastic. You have to check it out. Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in. Those who feel good do good. Go see for yourself. Register for an account at Stance.com. You'll get 15% off your first purchase. You can use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to apply again to get your 15% off your first purchase. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance. All right, let's go ahead and get into the next round of trade possibilities. So this is a player who I'd spent a lot of time talking about in the offseason, touched on it a little bit here probably about a week ago. Miles Turner, the Indiana Pacers, is, of course, he's been in trade rumors constantly, it seems like, the last couple of years. He's even had to address them to the media as well. The Pacers have had a terrible season so far, surprisingly, given a decent roster. They overachieved a little last year. Rick Carlisle now back as the head coach there. But they've really struggled. And Miles Turner is apparently available. He would be an absolutely perfect fit next to Karl-Anthony Towns. I've spent a lot of time on this in the past. The cliff notes are he could allow Towns to play more at the four. Turner could guard fives. He's obviously a switchable defender, can block shots a little bit, but he's just a versatile defender who can also knock down open threes. He's now a 40% three-point shooter. He's always been kind of upper 30s and has shown that range. Basically, think of him as a player who can bring a decent chunk of what Jared Vanderbilt can do defensively, not necessarily rebounding the ball, but he's a good rebounder. But then, you know, exponentially more offense and but yet not a high usage player, right? Like, you're not going to run very many sets for Miles Turner, but you can't leave him open on the perimeter. He's going to score, and he can also score on the offensive glass. But the main thing is the defense that he would bring to the Timberwolves, and the perfect fit he would be next to Karl-Anthony Towns would allow the Wolves to use them almost interchangeably at the four and the five. So Turner's just a fantastic fit. He's got a year left on his deal after this year. So the question is then, what do you give up for him if you can't keep him after next year? And is he going to be worth extending at whatever he's going to be looking for on the open market? He's probably not a max player, but he's not much below that, quite honestly. I think that he's the type of player, all it takes is one team to overpay and to keep him. Again, not a max player, but he's going to get paid nicely, not summer of 22, but summer of 23 following next season. Now, the big question is, what would you have to give up to get Miles Turner? Almost certainly it would be Jaden McDaniels and probably a pair of first round picks, unless the Pacers are really interested and you need some more salary match there, whether it's Torian Prince, maybe they're interested in Malik Beasley. And I think the Wolves would do certainly either one of those guys. The question is it one first rounder? Is it two first rounders? Is it Jaden McDaniels? And then do they also want like a Naz Reid or a Jalen Noel, and do the Timberwolves oblige? I think certainly if it was, you know, if it was Miles Turner, Torian Prince, or excuse me, if the Timberwolves were sending out Jaden McDaniels, Torian Prince, a first rounder, I'm sure they would add Jalen Noel to that deal. No question. Would they do a second first rounder? I don't know. That's kind of where it gets a little bit tricky, is do you give up two first rounders for a year and a half of a guy? Probably not. And my guess is that's where the Pacers are with their asking price for Miles Turner. So we'll see what it ends up costing, but there's no question that he would be a fantastic fit with the Wolves and is probably kind of in that sweet spot of, we have to give something to get something, but he would be sitting here today exponentially better than Jaden McDaniels for this roster. And it would allow the Wolves to do a lot of creative things with really kind of a four-man rotation in the front court of Towns, Turner, Naz Reid, and Jared Vanderbilt. The Wolves could mix and match, and it would be a lot of fun to see those four guys play together, assuming McDaniels would be one of the primary pieces headed out to Indiana. So that, again, is a trade. The Wolves have been linked to him in the past. There's nothing new there, but I think, again, it's the sweet spot between a big, a true difference maker, but also realistic. I think this is a trade that's much more... I think it's reasonable to talk about this as a true possibility for the Wolves. Another player I talked about, this was beginning of last week, I think last Monday's show, was Larry Nance Jr. as a player that the Timberwolves could be interested in from the Portland Trailblazers. ESPN had written an article about potential Wolves interest in Larry Nance Jr. a couple weeks ago and basically what they could potentially offer. And my thought was, hey, this is a no-brainer if the Wolves are only giving up what they think they'll give up. So the offer that ESPN put together for the Wolves, again, this is the ESPN insider idea, would be the Wolves will give up Josh Okogie, Jake Layman, and a top 14, so a lottery protected first round pick, essentially, to get Larry Nance. And they would also need to add another contract. Maybe it's Jalen Noel or something small. But if the Wolves are only giving up two guys who aren't currently in the rotation, and Okogie and Layman, and a lottery protected first rounder for Larry Nance, you do it. I know that Larry Nance isn't a superstar, but he's enough of a difference maker defensively. He adds an element of athleticism to your offense, of rebounding, the ability to shoot a little bit from the outside. I mean, that, again, big man rotation, you're retaining all, in this scenario, you've still got McDaniels, Vanderbilt, You could always have one of Jared Vanderbilt, Larry Nance Jr. on the floor next to Karl-Anthony Towns. You can mix and match all you want. McDaniels can exclusively play the three. That's another one of those gettable trades. Now, he's not the difference maker that Miles Turner is. The Timberwolves aren't going to go from the 9 or 10 seed to the 5 seed like they would if they, you know, if they got, you know, Dame or Ben Simmons, they go to probably 3 or 4. If they get Miles Turner, it jumps them to like 5 or 6, right? It, considering where they're sitting now, obviously there's a lot of season to play. But Larry Nance probably helps them by a spot, maybe two. But what it really does is it gives you that additional depth. It gives you the ability to, again, have a high-energy athletic rebounder who can do some stuff in the half court defensively, but also athletically in the pick-and-roll game with Nance. And Vanderbilt, one of those guys, could be on the floor at all times. And I think that would be really, really important. And again, depth is so important. And Josh Okogie is not in the rotation right now. Jake Layman hasn't been all season. And if you think you're going to be a playoff team, like, you give up a first rounder to make sure that you're a playoff team and to give you that depth to push you over the edge down the stretch in the season. So Nance would be another nice get, not super sexy, not super exciting, but a good addition nonetheless. The last thing I want to do in terms of trades is I want to talk about a player that I would stay away from. And it's been a while since I've talked about this particular player on the show. That's Buddy Hield of the Sacramento Kings. They're, of course, willing to trade him. They played a little better since Luke Walton was fired, but Buddy Hield's presumably been on the trade block since before he ever signed his current extension. And he's obviously way overpaid. He's having his worst career, his worst shooting season of his career thus far. I'm going to pull up his exact numbers. He's around 35% from three. This would be a career worst. He's owed more than $39 million over the next two seasons, which takes him through his age 31 season. So this season plus two more gets him to age 31. He's currently having his worst shooting year of his career, and he's continued to get worse defensively. He's a bad defender who keeps getting worse. Now, what else have I talked about on the show? Well, it's adding outside shooting, right? The Wolves, one of the ways you combat teams putting a four on Karl-Anthony Towns and doubling him on the catch in the post is by surrounding him with above-average shooters. Buddy Hield has been a well above-average shooter for most of his career. Well, this year he hasn't been, and he's not a sharp shooter, right? He's not a 43% three-point guy. He's a high-volume, above-average shooter. He's really good. He has great range. He can get his shot off whenever he wants. He's a good shooter, right? And again, not this year. But the fact that he's such a high-usage player who then would inevitably expect to take the ball out of the hands of an Anthony Edwards, a D'Angelo Russell, of a Karl-Anthony Towns, all of whom are more efficient and dynamic scorers than Buddy Hield is, all the way around scorers, not strictly spot-up shooters, there's diminishing returns there. You add Hield, yeah, theoretically you have more shooters on the floor, but how often is he squeezing the trigger at 35% instead of, you know, a guy whose career three-point percentage is higher than that? Whether that's, obviously Towns, Russell's a little better than that generally this year, notwithstanding. And then you factor in the fact that Hield is having his worst shooting year of his career, and you figure at some point that's going to bounce back. But how much will it bounce back this season? Maybe he is just simply at age 29. I think he's about to turn 29. Or just did, is he really kind of on the backside of his career now? And can he not do anything besides shoot threes, which has always kind of been the thing with him? So all that to say, I wouldn't give up any real assets to give up to take on that contract and that defensive liability and the iffy shooting at this stage, or not, I shouldn't say iffy shooting, but the potentially declining shooting at this stage. And I said this on the show the other day, D'Angelo Russell, the Timberwolves have several guys who are all having a career worst shooting season so far. And, that's not likely that that's going to continue, right? But at the moment, Beverly, Russell, Torian Prince, Malik Beasley, they're all shooting career low percentages from outside the arc. Do you want to add a fifth guy who's having the worst shooting year of his career and kind of tempt fate that way? So end of the day, don't give up assets for Buddy Hield. Don't give up anything to take on $39 million over the next 2 years for a declining shooter that doesn't do anything else and is a defensive liability. They may not have to give up much other than matching the salary if they wanted to. I don't see Sachin Gupta going for this. I don't think that it is a likely move for the Timberwolves, nor would I make that move if I were the Wolves. Okay, I want to close the show by talking about Jared Vanderbilt and just how unique his season has been so far this year, and compare him to, dangerously, I understand, a Hall of Famer. Let's do it. First of all, let's talk about our friends over at Boost Mobile. You listen to podcasts for the power of the inside track. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone so you can listen to the latest episodes and keep up with your favorite players and teams. the power of 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line, so your family can share all the insights, and the power of one of America's largest 5G networks, so you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and all that edge you'll gain, just how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile and find out. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverages not available everywhere for all phones and networks. See BoostMobile.com for details. All right, let's talk about Jared Vanderbilt. So early, I guess this is preseason. It might have even been in August at the State Fair, I think, the Minnesota State Fair, I believe, that head coach Chris Finch compared Jaden McDaniels. I think that's when it was. I know he said this. Said that there was some Scottie Pippen to Jaden McDaniels' game. Obviously, extremely high praise. You're talking about a guy who's probably one of the top, 30 players of all time. Scottie Pippen, obviously a Hall of Famer. Versatile two-way player, the length, the athleticism, the ability to distribute and score, to take over games if he needed to, that sort of a thing. Now, Jaden McDaniels is in his age 21 season, year two. He was a one-and-done player after being a five-star high school recruit, a one-and-done player at University of Washington. Kind of the whole thing was lottery talent. Can he put it all together? Last year, he showed lots of flashes. This year, he hasn't really progressed much, certainly not offensively. The defensive game is still strong, although he's had issues with fouls. So that was, you know, a hasty comparison. I'm going to go ahead and just do the same thing because why not? And to be fair, he's the head coach. And I'm not saying he shouldn't have said that because I think there's some, depending on the personality of the player, it could be worth it to put some of that stuff out there. I could say anything. I can make any comparison I want. I can have whatever hot take I want. I'm a podcast host, so I'm going to do this. We have a writer over at Dunking with Wolves, which is where I'm the editor of the Fansided Timberwolves blog, who did a comparison on Jared Vanderbilt to Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen's, of course, former teammate with the Chicago Bulls. And it's a name I mentioned. I think this was around the Portland game, kind of in the middle of that Timberwolves hot stretch right before Thanksgiving, where I compared some of what Jared Vanderbilt was doing to what Dennis Rodman does. And I don't mean that he is Dennis Rodman. I don't mean that he is the rebounder that Dennis Rodman ended up being in his career. Just that the start of his career lines up very closely with the start of Dennis Rodman's career in terms of some of these numbers on the glass and defensively, and also the energy that he plays with, the trying to, you know, get steals in the backcourt, sneak up on an inbound. Maybe one time, two times a game, Vando tries that, where he just tries to kind of appear, steal an inbound pass after a made basket and try and get a dunk. Something along those lines. Those things are all similar. But our writer over at Dunking with Wolves, and this is Buck Wallert, who wrote this article, and it's published, actually should be published now on Tuesday. He basically just ran through a few different statistics, which I think are fascinating. So look at as simple as like rebounds in their first season. Now, this is Vando's third season. Remember, he spent his first 2 years bouncing back and forth G League and the NBA. So now we're comparing third season. Vando is 21. Dennis Rodman's first season, he was 25. So Rodman's first year, he's 4 years older than Vando in his third season. Roughly this, 18 minutes a game for Vando, 15 minutes a game for Rodman. And you look at rebounding percentage, which is obviously a better way to look at this percentage of total rebounds gathered than just straight rebounds per game or total rebounds. Vanderbilt had a 17.5% rebound rate last season, his third season in the NBA. Rodman's was 15.5%, so 2% lower. Defensive rebounds, Vando 24.7, Rodman 15.3%. Offensive rebounds, Vando last year just 10.8, Rodman 15.6. Let's look at year one defensive numbers. So steal rate in his third season, last season for Vando, 2.7% steal rate. Rodman's was 1.6% in his first season. Vando's block rate, 3.5%. Vando's was 3.5. Rodman's was 2.4. So leg up there as well. Year two rebounding. Vando, 18.3% rebound rate. Rodman, 18.6%. So very close. Defensive rebounds, Vando had about a 4% edge. And offensive rebounds, Rodman had about a 4% edge. So essentially the same. Rodman just skewed a little bit more on the offensive end of the floor in year two for him. And again, technically Vando's third season, but we all know that he finally started to see additional playing time than in his fourth season. Just like Rodman did in his second year. And then you look at defense. Again, year two for Rodman, he had a steal rate of 1.7% and a block rate of 1.2. Year two for Vando, you're looking at a steal rate of 3.1% and a block rate of 3.2. So significantly higher steal and block rates, higher defensive rebound rate, roughly the same total rebound rate. The only place Rodman's got the edge is offensive rebounding. Now, there's obviously a lot of factors that play into this. There's the team you're playing on, the opportunity. I'm not at all suggesting that, oh man, Vando's going to become Dennis Rodman. He's going to become literally a Hall of Famer. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the style of play, the way he goes about his business, the energy, the athleticism, the size, the stick-to-itiveness on the glass on both ends of the floor, again, trying to sneak, grab steals in the backcourt, the switchability on defense, how versatile he is as a defender, and also the limited offensive game, quite frankly. I actually think he's got, in some cases, I mean, his hands aren't good, but Vando has moments where he shows touch. He's actually a really good passer. He can put the ball on the floor. We saw that against Portland the other night when he pump faked in the corner and beat, I believe it was Nurkic off the dribble on the closeout and drove dribble drive in the half court to get a dunk. Those are little things that he's been able to do. And I'm not comparing apples to apples here. I realize this, but McDaniels has not shown those incremental bits of improvement. Vando's got a couple more years as a pro, but not any more time actually playing as a pro. So what we're seeing out of Vando now is so encouraging. And even though he is a minus in terms of what he brings offensively, he's such a big plus on the glass and defensively that anything he can give you one corner three a night and one pump fake and a drive for a dunk a night and not turn the ball over like what we saw against Portland on Monday when he was fantastic. That is a winning player. That is a player who deserves to be a starter and at the very least in the rotation for a playoff team. And again, similarities to the start of Dennis Rodman's career. I'm not comparing Hall of Fame Dennis Rodman to second year actually getting minutes in the NBA Jared Vanderbilt. I'm not saying that they're the same. I'm saying that the start of Rodman's career is eerily similar and in some cases less impressive than what Vando has been doing now that he's seen regular minutes. So Vanderbilt's a guy I've harped on now for almost 2 years, since the day the Wolves got him in February of 2020, is somebody who I thought could be an ideal fit next to Towns, and I'm very happy to see that he has been exactly that, and I'm really excited to find out where the Timberwolves go from here with Vando and how far they can take this. It's one of the reasons I think Larry Nance would be such a good acquisition, is there are some similarities there, and I think just always having one of those bouncy fours on the floor next to Towns could be really, really beneficial and advantageous for the Wolves moving forward. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Of course, we'll be back on Wednesday. Wednesday is game day. The Wolves take on the Denver Nuggets in the Mile High City on Wednesday night. So be sure that you are prepared for that game Wednesday. We'll do a little bit of a preview on Wednesday for the show. So we'll have a Wednesday show previewing Wolves Nuggets. And then following the game Wednesday, of course, we'll do the post-game pod as always. Thank you to those of you who are subscribed to Locked On Wolves and make Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Remember, the show is free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. If you don't want to watch the show, you can listen anywhere you like to listen. That includes Apple to Google, Spotify to the all new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. That's all we have for you today. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.